able to work, I have an important message. You may be entitled to receive disability benefits through Social Security. You'll be matched up with an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, deal with Social Security for you, and handle all appeals and hearings. Best of all, there are no upfront fees, so you pay nothing until you receive your benefits.
Call the Citizens Disability Helpline today for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. Pending home sales. Pending home sales for the month of January up 4.6%. They come roaring back. They were up in the month of December as well. And I'm trying to get that number because I think it was misreported. So I'm trying to see what that number is, and I'm not getting it. What was reported was 4.6% for December, because remember, that wasn't reported because of the government shutdown. And then I get the January number. They reported that at the same time. And the January number comes in at 4.6%. The likelihood of them both being the same number are very slim. So I'm trying to find out. I think it was misreported. I just checked, and it was. That's what they reported, but I don't think it was right. So we're going to have to wait until I get some clarification on that. Also, durable good numbers up 1.2%. That is a pretty significant move. It's a very good move, and that is a significant move on the upside. It's great to see anything over 1%, and very, very good. So that is good news. Building home housing activity for the month of January beat economic consensus. That also is a 1% increase. That's very good. And we'll continue to watch that. Pending sales increased in every single region of the country. How about that? Every region of the country, they were up 1.6% in the Northeast, 2.8% in the Midwest, 0.3% in the West. That's because everybody's leaving California. Nobody's going there. And the South was up 8.9%. Holy mackerel. That's the driver, I'm sure. So, again, isn't that interesting? Everybody's leaving. Nobody's going to the West. Everybody's going to Texas and Florida. Tennessee, that's where they're going. They're going to the South. These numbers would certainly look like that and indicate that. 30-year mortgage, remember, we broke 5% again back in December, early December. I think it might have been November. Broke over 5%. 30-year mortgage now on average 4.43%. That is a very, very good number. Chairman Powell is testifying. I'm watching, I'm seeing that Kevin Brady, Kevin Brady on our program just a couple weeks ago, he's now asking some questions of the chairman. So it'll be interesting. This is the Finance Committee. House Ways Finance Committee. The chairman of this committee, Maxine Waters. I can't, I hope they show her questioning. That should be entertaining. But anyway, we'll see where that goes. But that's happening right now. Cohen is testifying. Nobody's covered. Well, I don't know. I'm sure Fox, mainstream media, Fox is probably covering it. But we're just looking at, we just care about the economics of things. So this looks like housing is being set up for a very good spring uptick. And that is, that's some good news. So anyway, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. 33. Now, so we get durable goods over 1%, 1.2%. Housing numbers surged back up. Mortgage rates go down, and it didn't even budge the markets. So markets did not move at all. They are negative by about a quarter of 1%, except for the NASDAQ is negative almost a half of 1%. So they're negative, and that's about where they were before these numbers came out. So nothing moving the markets right now. So we'll watch. I think markets are looking for some sort of geopolitical event. They're not going to get anything very special out of Lighthizer as far as trade goes, or Powell's testimony. That is, I don't want to say for sure, but very unlikely to happen in a way that is going to impact these markets. So right now, everything is in negative territory right now. We'll see how that ends up. There isn't any other economic news coming out. The only thing that could help, could make a difference, I don't want to say help, could make a difference in driving things a little bit more negative, or maybe help, is EIA numbers on oil. Right now, oil is up considerably. It's up about 1.8% right now. This is on API numbers, showing a dramatic decrease in oil. So inventory. So excuse me, inventories in crude oil are down dramatically according to API. But we're going to have to wait until we see the EIA numbers, which should be out in about 20 minutes, and we'll try to get a handle on that. So if the EIA numbers confirm the API numbers, or they could be worse, we could be down 8 million, who knows? But we could be down dramatically, then I would expect that crude oil prices are going to start to jump up a little bit, and I would almost count on gasoline prices at the pump today, tomorrow, and Friday going up on those numbers in all likelihood. And that's unfortunate, but I would almost count on that if we see these inventory numbers come out. Don't forget, too, we could possibly see a ramping up of productivity, industrial production in China, which will place a lot of demand on crude oil. So we'll watch that. Okay, we have our ag report coming up. Commodities still remain extremely important for our economy, and they always will, but a little bit more important than usual. Craig Haugard with our ag report right now.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Corn had some continued follow-through downside pressure after closing lower on Monday. We followed it up by closing down 4.25 cents again yesterday, with funds estimated to have sold 25,000 contracts during yesterday's session. Now, the only real news I saw yesterday was that the U.S. trade negotiators are asking China to reduce tariffs on U.S. ethanol from 70% down to 15%. If that would happen, that would certainly be positive for the corn market. If there is a bright side to what's going on right now, at least, it's that the basis seems to be firming up across the Corn Belt. Demand still is very good for exports, and the basis is going to have to do some of the work if the futures market continues to struggle. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading up a penny. Another weaker day in the bean complex as well yesterday, with beans closing 8 cents lower for the day. And it seems like until we get some type of confirmation from the U.S.-China talks that the market is going to be focused on improving South American weather conditions and increased export competition. For February, Brazil is expected to export 4.5 million metric tons, which would be a record amount of beans for them for that month, 2 million metric tons larger than what they exported a year ago February. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading a penny higher. Winter wheats closed fairly weak on Tuesday, with spring wheat staying firm. It appears as if the winter wheats were impacted by heavy fund selling during the session yesterday. Now, Monday, we saw some preliminary crop ratings for selected states, and they tended to show a general decline in winter wheat conditions from what we saw last fall, although Kansas was 5 percentage points better than last fall. In the overnight trade, Chicago is snapped back, trading up a nickel. Kansas City is trading 6 cents higher, while Minneapolis is 2 cents higher. Cotton futures had a rough day, with May futures dropping $1.08 for the day to close at 72.02. On the overnight session, spot cotton futures are trading 24 points higher. Livestock markets were higher straight across the board yesterday. April live cattle futures finished the session 70 cents higher, while April feeder cattle were up $1.12.5 for the day. Lean hog futures also turned in a positive session, with the April lean hogs up $1.825 for the day. Class 3 milk futures continued their
register today.
The AFA Journal is the monthly magazine of the American Family Association.
The mission of the AFA Journal is to motivate people to get involved in issues around their community and around their state and nation.
We want people to go out and actually do something, become involved in their community. People who read the journal take the magazine, they hand it to friends, they hand it to neighbors, they hand it to people at work.
If you'd like to get the AFA Journal, simply go to afajournal.org. You can sign up for a one-year free subscription.
There's such a peace and joy knowing that God is answering our prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back, 844-707-5533, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. Great to be here. We're going to get right back. We're going to get to calls, 844-707-5533. I want to remind you that a week from tomorrow, right? Yeah, a week from tomorrow, we will be in, I'll be in Oklahoma, Edmond, Oklahoma, for a town hall meeting. So we're really excited about that. I've been in Oklahoma in about 4 or 5 years. So I'm very excited about getting back there. I hope you're going to come out. You are going to come out, right? I mean, I sure hope so. But we will be in Edmond, Oklahoma next Friday. Go to the website, financialissues.org. You can get the address. But I sure do hope that you're going to be there. If you live anywhere near Edmond, Oklahoma, come on out. It's free. We start Thursday evening at 6:30. 6:30 next Thursday evening. 6:30. Fairview Baptist Church, Fairview Baptist Church, Edmond, Oklahoma. So Fairview Baptist Church, Edmond, Oklahoma, 6:30 on the 7th. So come on out. We're going to have a great time. I'll be there early. My wife and I will try to meet as many people as we can. I would love to have an opportunity to say hello. So we're looking forward to it. We're going to have a great time. So I hope you'll be there. Doesn't cost anything. We don't ask you to do anything. You just got to show up and enjoy. So I hope you're there. Edmond, Oklahoma, Fairview Baptist Church. So next Thursday, that'll be a week from tomorrow. All right, let me go to phones, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Maria calling us from Indiana. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Dan. I have a short comment that leads me to my question. I'm a new partner.
Thank
and
you.
I thank you very much for your ministry, because I think I'm going to get all of my community influenced by you now. So,
thank you.
Including the millennials. My advisor is a millennial.
Oh,
so
great.
Anyway, I am also an obstetrician gynecologist, and I foresee that with the legislation that's going on in now, the maternal mortality rate will increase, the perinatal mortality rate will increase, and I think the day will come when it will be legislated that it's okay to kill somebody, so that homicide rate will rise.
Maria, can I interrupt you for a second? I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
I guess, and I agree with what you just said 100%. The only thing that I'm wondering, so will they count this kind of, I don't want to call it a failed abortion. Some people call it a failed abortion. But this death after birth, will they count that in the mortality rate?
Well, what will happen is that, the use of abortion is in like late-term abortion.
Yes.
The way we do it, you know, in medical terms, in obstetrical terms, abortion only is before 20 weeks. After 20 weeks, the baby is viable. So you could just imagine the effort and the money that goes to saving a wanted baby, okay?
Yes.
So now after 20, suppose a baby who's 36 weeks dies in utero, okay, dies naturally in utero.
Yes.
The way we do that baby is we do a what we call a hysterotomy, which is like a C-section, and we deliver that baby out of the womb like that. We don't do all the other stuff that are used in politics. It's not the way we do it. Those are used in the third world, in other places where there is no sterility, there is no understanding because you know, when you do this, the problem that I have with this is nobody talks about the postpartum, or I refer it postpartum in general, effect on the mother. So what will also increase will be the mental health issues. There will be a lot of suicidal issues, and there will be more, and because nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
You know, nobody talks about what happens. They think they have the freedom to do this, but this is not freedom. I have delivered a mother years after she had her initial abortion. The first baby was an aborted baby, and then she had a normal delivery years later. I tell you, she is like a quivering mass of anxiety. One time, there was a nurse that she nearly kicked out of the room because she was flailing around. But nobody talks about this. Nobody talks about this. And also the bleeding. You know, when you have seen the bleeding that comes from this type of cases, you will not even think about it. It's horrific. It's horrific.
It's so hard to believe. It's so hard to believe. That, you know, we live in a society today that believes if it's legal, it's okay. You know, it's like the legality of certain things is, for so many people, means that it's okay. See, it's okay to smoke marijuana if it's legal. It's only not okay if it's illegal, but making it legal in some states makes it perfectly acceptable. And that's a very poor example of what we're talking about here. But you get the picture that when things are made legal, you know, I used to tell my children growing up when they would say, "Dad, everybody's doing it." I would say, "Listen, the will of the majority is not necessarily the will of God. It doesn't make it right. Because everybody's being stupid, it doesn't make it right." And they used to get mad at me when I said it. Now they're going to be saying it to their children, I'm sure. But you know, we don't look at that. We look at, you know, I think that there is so much victory in legalizing things that the left is so adamant about putting through, because it gives it brings a certain makes it legitimate, and therefore it must be right. It must be okay, even from a moral perspective. Mm-hmm. Must be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what they're doing is legislating away guilt and shame. Mm-hmm. And to answer your question regarding statistics, you know that statistics can be manipulated.
Yes, yes, I do.
Right?
Yes.
Like, for example, when you look at, like, my dad's death certificate, it doesn't say exactly what he died of. It just says, who doesn't die from heart attack and respiratory failure?
Right, right.
You know, how do you, if you do that with a baby, okay, everybody, so say the baby, it will not say that this is a, it will say perhaps 37 weeks, had a respiratory distress syndrome, blah, blah, blah. It will not even, it depends a lot on the way the hospital is, you know, the finances.
Yes,
the finances,
yes, yes, yes.
And yep. So this, you know, this thing about all these legislations, it really is disturbing me a lot, because I look at where this is going. We are going to be like a third world country and worse than
World country
because we know better.
Yeah.
So now then, it leads me to my question.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I've been meaning to explain this to, you know, I owe everything that I am from the state of New York, and I do love New York the way it was. But the first thing I published in social media was, if you are meditating on doing whatever it is you want to do with your health, please consult an obstetrician gynecologist. At least we can properly advise them on what, on how to address, where to go. This idea of any professional, quote-unquote professional, can do the AB is just inviting so much trouble. Mm. It's just too much trouble, Dan. It can't even, it feels like I'm the bringer, the messenger of doom, but I have seen it. That's why I'm scared of it.
Yeah.
I have seen it. Mm. So now that I'm back to my question.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that if we do not vote well the next time, we are just going to perpetuate this culture of death. So how does it affect the way we plan for our portfolios then?
Yeah, boy, isn't that a good question? Holy mackerel. yeah, I think that it's going to impact not how we plan now, but I think it has to impact what we do immediately following such a dramatic loss. I'll give you an example of the last presidential election. The last presidential election, I felt relatively certain, though I was fighting tooth and nail for President Trump, I felt relatively certain that it was really a big uphill battle and he probably won't win. Even that night, I stayed up all night. I never did go to sleep that night. But when people called me for an interview because they knew I lived in the state of Pennsylvania and the state of Pennsylvania was hanging in balance. And I said to all of them the same thing when they asked me, what do I think? I said, all I can tell you is that if he wins the state of Pennsylvania, we know one thing for certain, that this is ordained of God. Because he can't win the state of Pennsylvania. And, you know, if he does, it's God. And we don't have anything to worry about. I think that obviously on Tuesday. The following Tuesday, I had a town hall meeting in Arkansas. And I had already planned.
And become debt-free. National Debt Relief has earned a top rating from Consumer Affairs and is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. Call National Debt Relief now to speak to a certified debt relief specialist to see if you qualify for the Debt Reset Program. There are no upfront costs, and you could resolve your debt for a fraction of what you owe.
Call 1-800-958-9891. 1-800-958-9891. 1-800-958-9891.
We just, all our phone systems went dead. We had a full board. I was talking to Maria off air. So I am going to hope that Maria is still listening so I can finish my thoughts. And it'll be edifying to everybody anyway. So it's a good thing. Maria asked me a very, very good question that I want to share with everybody. She asked me this just while we were on break. And she said, you know, what happens if from a political perspective, we see what happens. We see that if they take control, if they being the left begins to take control, how do we protect or plan for our finances for that? I don't think we can. Well, I think we can, but I don't think we should. And I don't like saying this, folks. I really don't.
but I want, it's why I want you to partner with the ministry. I'm not always right. I'm not always going to be, hit the nail on the head all the time. But I will say this, and I'll just leave it at this. In those times, you will need an unbiased person that is coming to you from the perspective of godly counsel to give you some advice. Not somebody that has an agenda that is going to profit by what you do or don't do. And so I would tell you that during the presidential election that I was just talking about this, I don't remember whether I was on the air saying this or not or talking to Maria offline. Our phones are back up, by the way, if you want to call in 844-707-5533. But I remember what I had planned for a Rogers, Arkansas town hall meeting a few days after the election. And I was planned for what we had to do immediately with our portfolio if Hillary had won. And I am going to have that same plan going up to these next presidential elections. And I am going to ask our partners, you will get that plan before the next trading day, in all likelihood. You will get that. You will be able to act on it quickly. And I think it's going to be critically important that you do. Now, there is a very strong possibility that we could have a number of geopolitical events. We could have the president coming under that is being waged against this man, not against the presidency, against this man. And it looks like he's lost his defense system and he starts to crash and burn. And it looks like this, whoever it might be, who only the Lord knows, who he is going to raise up to run in opposition against his president. The question is going to be a theological one in the next election. Is God going to give us the desires of our heart? Is he going to give us over to that? The Bible says he will do that. Will he give us over to the desires of our heart? If that is true, and this person is elected, we've got to make immediate changes. And if it looks as though that's going to happen, we got to make changes. And I can only hope and pray that you will be a partner a little bit as much time before that has happened so you get used to how things are working in our partnership. Because there are going to be steps. Are they going to really help us? No, to be honest. Are they going to give us a little peace of mind? Probably. Could they help us? Yes. Could doing nothing help us? No. But could this strategy that will be adopted immediately, will that help us? Yes. I believe it'll help us. If nothing else, it'll give us a little bit more staying power until everything is taken over. Now, so I think, Maria, you're doing the right things. I do think you need to consolidate, depend upon the one person that beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can rely upon, that you can trust fully with all of your heart, and that is yourself. And make your mistakes, go through your learning curve, become a better steward of your finances as a result of it, and trust that maybe for the first time in your entire life, you are honoring God with every nickel that you have. You've invited Christ into your finances and lean upon him and trust that everything's going to be okay and enjoy the peace that I know he's going to give you. So do I think you should do it? Absolutely, Maria. I wouldn't hesitate. I would begin the process. Doesn't mean you've got to bring all this money into your portfolio now, wherever you didn't say where you were, but TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, wherever it is, bring it all in there. Doesn't mean you've got to quick get it invested. You don't have to do that. Sit back and relax. Take your time. Learn a little bit more. In the meantime, it can't go down. Maybe not is invested to go up anymore, but just you have it all in one place. You can be a good steward of it. You can watch over it. You can start building your portfolio the way God would have you to build it. So that's what I think we need to do. Now, having said that, I wasn't going to go here, but I'm use this opportunity. I was going to do this later next week because I'm trying to get some information some people that I know are close to this in Washington. But I've been saying this a lot in the last couple of weeks as people call in. Please, there is absolutely no reason. Do you know that 90% of the wealth of the nation is with baby boomers, my age, and over 80% of that is in qualified money? We're talking about $17-18 trillion in qualified money. Qualified money is 401k, IRA, simple, SEPs, Roth accounts, TSP, whatever. You know, you get the picture. Anything that is regulated by the IRS. Please don't do that. If you are contributing to your 401k and your company is matching, you got to do it. I want you to do it. But think. We can't have, well, that's so great. I'm not paying taxes. It's all being deferred or it's growing tax-free. I'm going to open another account and I'm going to do more. Now I'm maxed out. I can't do anymore. So I'm going to backdoor my Roth by contributing more to my 401k. And then I'm going to transfer it over to my Roth so I can get more money in my Roth. And I'm working so hard day and night. Why? Because you don't want to pay a little tax. Think about it. You don't want to pay a little tax. My advice to you, and I might not be here when you appreciate your advice. I may be in glory. It may be 20 years from now. I don't know when it may be two years from now, maybe 2020. But there will be a point in time that you will appreciate that advice that you're hearing from Financial Issues. I hope you will appreciate it so much that you will bless the ministry. Even if I'm dead and gone, the ministry will still be here. Anyway, I'm going to talk more about that whole thing. But if your company's matching, man, do your 401k. If your company is matching and you can max it out, do it. Do whatever you can do. But don't just keep going from qualified plan to qualified plan to qualified plan to deferred taxes. I mean, annuities. Everything's deferred. I don't ever have to pay any tax. Please. It's going to come back. I don't say it's going to. It could very easily. I suspect it will, but it could very easily come back to haunt you. Let's be prudent. Let's be wise. I pray every day that any wisdom that I have comes from God, that I might have some understanding of the times as the sons of Issachar. I've asked thousands of people over the years to pray that prayer for me, so I know that there are thousands of people praying that same thing. I can only hope and pray and feel very assured that God is answering that prayer. I would just ask you to be prudent and wise and do that. It's really important for you, for your family, and for the kingdom of Christ. There are going to be people suffering. You got to protect your money. Because if we get to that place, you got to...
6 built-in infrared LEDs
to record even at night.
We'll also send you our swivel clip to turn your cop cam
into the best dash cam, body cam, or action sports cam. And it's free. And finally, an 8-gigabyte
memory card,
also free.
Call or click now and you can double the offer. Just pay a separate fee.
You can get all this, but you have to order now.
Call 1-800-301-4313 or visit bycopcam.com. So call 1-800-301-4313 now.
That shares your values and beliefs. Christian Community Credit Union. Your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
844-707-5533. Financial issues. I'm Dan Celia. Let me go to Marty. Marty's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Marty.
Hey, you may have said this recently. I haven't caught every show, but I was just curious about the, you know, you used to talk quite a bit about having some Swiss francs.
Oh, yes,
sir. I
just
wonder if that was still part of your plan.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing it. I know back in 2009, at the end of 2008, 2009, when people were calling me about gold, I said, look, why don't you think about some currencies and think about, you know, I was talking about the Swiss franc and the Singapore dollar and some of the real strong currencies of the world. The reason for that is if there's really a cash, a currency from a sovereign nation is going to be far more valuable than gold, in the sense that gold's going to be made illegal as an alternative currency. So you have to get rid of it in the black market in order to get some cash. But if you want to be able to get a bag of rice or a jar of peanut butter or something, you're going to need some kind of currency. I suspect in a really, really bad environment, we will lose vendors, our supermarkets and such, will become more like every other country in the world. We have always been very arrogant about accepting other currencies. You go to, I've been literally, this is no joke, I've literally been in the jungles of third world countries where you find a tiny, tiny store just about, you know, maybe a 10 by 10 store somewhere that's a hut. And on the side of their box that they might have their cash box sitting on, there's a piece of cardboard with currency exchange rates from all kinds of different currencies. I mean, everywhere in the world you go, you can use whatever currency you want for the most part, except for here. And I think that will change. And I think what the Swiss franc would do if you owned it, it's going to give you some staying power, some purchasing power, and very, very likely, now listen, for a period of time, not forever, but for maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months at best, that currency will hold its value far greater at this point than the U.S. dollar would be, and allow you to purchase far more gasoline or far more groceries with that than you might get with the U.S. dollar. So I got a little carried away with it myself. I still have it all. I've never sold any of it. I don't, just because I've been too lazy to do so. But now I think I'm glad, not too lazy, just got enough things to do and I haven't really cared. So I still have a lot of it, but it's not an investment. I wouldn't buy it as an investment. I don't mean it to be that, and I didn't mean it to be that then. I couldn't tell you whether I'm up or down in it as a currency. Most of what I have is Swiss francs. I do have some Canadian, a little bit of euro, but Canadian's not going to help because that's going to devalue almost at the very same time. So anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea. I just wouldn't
you know, I wouldn't get carried away. I don't think it can ever hurt you. Find a bank, BB&T. I'm mentioning banks that I don't necessarily like. Wells Fargo is probably one of the better ones. Bank of America, Citibank, all the big banks, the big five. You know, you can get other currencies. They charge a small commission. It's better to do that than go to, you know, the place at the airport. If I travel out of the country, I never buy currency at the airport. I wait until I get to the other country. I do it either through the ATM machine at the other country, or I go into a bank and do it. You get a far, far better rate, considerably better. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm not actively talking about it on a very regular basis, but we'll see. I may be in a year and a half. Let me go to Sandy. Sandy's not there. Let me go to Tom from South Carolina. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Dan. I've got a good chunk of cash in Merrill Lynch bank account, and just to be safe. But would it be better served to take that and put it into one of your bond funds? I'm looking at your C20, C15, or C16,
uh-huh.
And just wanted to see what you might think. They're not, with his taking a commission, they're actually, what I have in there turns out to be negative.
Yeah.
And I thought,
that's what I was going to bring up with you, because in there you have the same risk that you would have if you went to one of those ones that you mentioned. So you have the same amount of risk, which is not very much risk, by the way. But nonetheless, you have the same, but you're not going to have any fees.
Correct. I'm on the fence.
So if you earn 1.5%, you're actually going to be able to keep it.
Okay. And I may switch him over on that note. Yours sounds like a better bet.
So neither way you're FDIC insured, but, you know, and there may be a slight volatility, but maybe something to think about, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Dan. All right, Tom.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. 844-707-5533. There's Sandy. Hey, Sandy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just received an inheritance from my father who recently passed away. The money is in a brokerage account with Edward Jones, and 89% of it is in growth and income stocks, none of which are biblically responsible.
Okay.
So I want to be biblically responsible with this now that God has given it to me. So how do I go about doing that? I have an account currently, my husband and I do, with Charles Schwab.
Okay.
And I got it back in the days when it used to be, I think, one of your preferreds to deal
sure.
with. So
yeah.
Do I move that over into Schwab and sell it, or do I sell it where it's at now, or how do I go about doing that?
Move it to Schwab first.
Okay.
And then sell it. Because Merrill Lynch yep. is going to charge you a lot more to make those sales
than
Schwab.
Now, if you were me, would you look at maybe getting a TD Ameritrade account and putting everything into that one?
Probably not. Probably not. I mean, I'm okay with Schwab. I don't talk a lot about them because of their position on Timothy funds. They go back and forth on it constantly. It drives me nuts. But look, I think that if you have a mindset to keep not those individual stocks, but to maintain a good, you know, growth and income or an income portfolio using individual stocks, which it would be a good thing to do, then you know, I think you're fine at Charles Schwab.
Okay, now let me ask you this. I also have, we're about, I'm 57. My husband's 59. He still works. I do not. We are only about $11,000 away from hitting the next tax bracket. So I'm not really right now thinking that I want to get a lot of growth or income. I mean, I want to. I'm not sure how to handle that. I don't
want
to get.
Well, this is not an IRA account, right?
No. I'm talking about right now is simply money in the stock market. Yep.
So it's not going to impact your income. So you really don't have to worry much about that, because if you sell something that is up, so you're, when did your father go home to be with the Lord?
December.
So your cost basis for all those stocks is as the date of his death.
Okay.
Okay. So you probably don't have a whole lot of gain, but if you did, it would be counted against you as capital gains, and that wouldn't impact your tax bracket.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about that. And moving on in the future is going to be the same thing. You don't have to be concerned about that.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. How do I decide which things I want to replace it with? Does that just go on the buy list that I'm here and I look at the investment percentages and weightings for our age group?
That's correct. That's all you're going to do. And if there's nothing in a sector for your age group on the buy list, you just wait it out till something shows up.
So just leave it in cash?
Correct.
Okay. We don't need the money from the death benefits. What should I do with this? Should we just go ahead and how do we get rid of it or sell it or turn it into something else? What happens?
I would just get rid of it. I would just surrender the contract. It's not a qualified, it's not IRA money.
It's custodial IRA.
Okay. Well, so you can't just, you need to roll that over into an IRA at Schwab. So move that into an IRA. That way you won't have to pay the income tax on it right away.